The message today will come out of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. The subject is the excellency of Jesus Christ. Now, when someone writes a book or tells a story, they start out slow and build up to some great climax for the ending. But the writer of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is moved to begin with the excellency of the person that is the subject of the whole book, the Son of God, the heir of all things, the upholder of all things. And from here, he makes a big splash and sets forth the glories of the God-man Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 1, I want to notice how the writer starts out. He says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He begins with God, like Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. True religion starts here, God. Also in the book of Genesis, God spoke, and things happened. He spoke on different days. God spoke on 6 different days, and each day revealed something new. This is what happened when God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. Each time he spoke through the prophets to the fathers, there would be a little more light given. Another type or a shadow or a picture would be given of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. More of the redemptive will of God would be revealed. God has never left himself or his people without a witness concerning Jesus Christ. This also shows that the Old Testament scriptures are the word of God, and that it was God speaking through the prophets. They did not speak of themselves or by themselves. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. How does God speak now? In verse 2, it says, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." God used frail, sinful men to speak in times past to the fathers, but now, in these last days, he has spoken one more time to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is so important. Jesus Christ is the final spokesman. He is that prophet that Moses said should come, and we are to hear him. He is the Word of God incarnate. Jesus Christ is the utterance of God. It is written in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now in 1 John 1, 1 it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. The word was made flesh. John is saying, we have seen him, we have touched him, we have looked upon him, we've handled him. We have handled life. We have looked upon life. That's what he's saying. Now, when our Lord came into this world in the flesh, he made this statement, as I hear, I speak. The words that I speak are not mine, but his that sent me. And what he's saying here is this, that he is the messenger and the message of the new covenant. In Malachi 3, verse 1, it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, as the messenger, he revealed the new covenant. The prophets, they knew parts of it, but not the fullness of it. That was not revealed until Jesus Christ came. Now we understand through Christ, we understand all the types. We understand the Passover. We understand the one it represented. We understand the types and the shadows. And let's never forget this. They were just that. They were types and shadows. Jesus Christ is the real. Out with the old and in with the new. Christ came to reveal, he came to dedicate and to enforce that new covenant. But not only is he the messenger of the new covenant, he is the message of the new covenant, which is the gospel. Our message is Christ and him crucified. That is why he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." To learn of Jesus Christ is to learn the gospel. It is to learn the new covenant. Christ is God's message to sinners. He is the way that God can be a just God and a Savior. He is the way of satisfaction. He is the way of justification. He is the way of sanctification. He said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He did not come into this world to show us the way. He is the way. He is the way to God. He is the only way to God. And that being so, don't go looking for another way. Christ is the final revelation from God. It is written in the scriptures, "In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him." And then it says here in Hebrews, "whom he hath appointed heir of all things." Jesus Christ is the appointed heir of all things. All things that are seen and unseen. This goes beyond what we can even begin to comprehend. But all things belong to Jesus Christ. Now, if God the Father so honored his Son in making him heir of absolutely everything, how much more should we honor him? Think of what the Lord Jesus Christ will inherit. Heaven, earth, that new heaven and new earth, everything that exists belongs to him. But do you know that the one thing that he counts most, his most treasured inheritance, is his saints? Listen to Ephesians 1:18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His chief glory and his chief joy will be to possess the redeemed." Now it also says here, back here in Hebrews, "by whom also he made the worlds." God the Father never, ever acted independently of God the Son or God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity never acts independently of each other. But the word "world" here means ages. In Colossians 1:16, it says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things, all things were created by him and for him." Everything was created by Jesus Christ, and everything was created for Jesus Christ. God did not create this world for me or you. He created it for Jesus Christ. He who is the heir of all things is also the creator of all things. Everything that God does, he does through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are ruled by Christ. All things have been put into his hands. And if we are going to deal with God Almighty, we are going to deal with him through Jesus Christ in a saving way. Now, if we miss Christ, we're going to deal with God as a consuming fire and going to wind up in hell. But now it says in verse 3, "who being the brightness of his glory." Brightness means outshining. Like the rays shine out from the sun, even so Jesus Christ reveals the glory of God in his person. If you'll remember back in the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle in the wilderness. And in that tabernacle, there was what was called the Shekinah glory. That's where God made his presence known. And it filled the inner sanctum of the tabernacle. That represents Jesus Christ. Christ is the outshining of God. Jesus Christ is the visible of the invisible God. If we would see God's glory, we must look to Jesus Christ to see it. Not with the natural eye, but with the eye of faith, which is the gift of God. And then it says in that verse 3, and the express image of his person, no one has seen God at any time. That's what it says in John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He has seen him. What this is saying is that the Son, Jesus Christ, this one who walked on earth in the flesh, is absolutely God in every way. In his person, in his attributes, he is the one and true God of heaven and earth. It is written in Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then it says in verse 3, and upholding all things by the word of his power. At this very moment, present tense, Jesus Christ is commanding all things to do as he wills them to do. God did not create the world like a wind-up toy and let it go. God created all things by his word, that is, by his Son, and turned everything over to him to run moment by moment. Like a general commands his troops, so the man Christ Jesus commands the universe to do as he will. It is written in Daniel 4:35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou, or what are you doing? The scripture says he gives no account of any of his matters, not to us. He's the sovereign. He is the sovereign. We are not. Now, what men call the laws of nature is really Christ commanding everything to work together for our good. The universe, as someone said, derives its integrity from Jesus Christ. The term word here can be translated command. When he had by himself purged our sins, here is the heart of the gospel. Here is atonement. As one writer said, he literally carried out a cleansing. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. He was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The effect of his work was to remove all sin from the people he died for and to present them before God absolutely spotless. Jesus Christ could not cleanse his people without becoming their substitute. And his blood being shed for them, for it says in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there's no remission. For the wages of sin is death. And if we're going to escape death, then somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to die. And that somebody is going to be Jesus Christ if I'm to escape death. Now notice it says, by himself, no one could help him redeem his people. He must tread the winepress of God's wrath alone. Augustus Toplady wrote, not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. And then it says he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Having finished the work that he was sent to do, he sat down, enthroned on high. No priest in the Old Testament ever sat down because they never finished their work. But Jesus Christ, he cried, it's finished. And when he arose and went on high, he sat down. Now the one who humbled himself to become a servant, even to the death of the cross, is now seated. The Lamb of God that hung on the cross is now enthroned at the right hand of the majesty on high. This means he got the job done. He said in John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He achieved what he came to do. Now in closing, if we can get a hold of this, it will comfort our hearts, assist our worship, and help us to give him the glory due unto his name. My friends, we worship and we trust an enthroned Christ who is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. May God bless his word till next time.